So one of my favorite Christmas movies, yeah, I'm still talking about Christmas movies, centers around a performer who wants to leave show business. Bing Crosby portrays Jim, who buys a farm in Connecticut, imagining he's going to live an easy, lazy lifestyle. Of course, he's in for quite a surprise. But one of the tasks he takes on as he's becoming overwhelmed by the work involved in farming is home canning. And when he later visits New York to see his former partner, Ted, he generously brings some of his product. Ted, portrayed by Fred Astaire, looks at the jar and then at Jim, and he says, "Gee, thanks. What is it?" Jim proudly replies, "Peach preserves." To which Ted says, "Well, thanks. They're swell on, or even plain." His reply indicates he has no idea what to do with peach preserves, but he doesn't want to seem ungrateful. I wonder how many of us feel that same puzzlement post-Christmas. The gift of Emmanuel, God with us, is swell. Thank you, God, for this gift. But then what do we do with it? Do we place this sweet little baby in the manger on a shelf and close the cupboard door? Or do we open this gift we've been given? Breathe in its fragrance, taste its goodness, let this gift fill us with a wisdom and a glimpse of the divine? The scripture actually leaves us wondering the same thing about Jesus' visitors. Now, Luke's gospel tells us there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The angel told them God's Messiah had been born. The shepherds went in search of the child, and after they found Jesus with Mary and Joseph, they went away from the manger and, quote, spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Shepherds went away from the manger, sharing this message of hope and peace and love and joy and light. But Matthew shows us magi who come first to Herod's palace in search of the child, learn from Herod's advisors they should look for him in Bethlehem. Medieval lore dating to the 8th century gives the magi the names Melchior, Balthazar, and Gaspar. The scripture does not specify that there were three magi, only that there were three gifts. And Renaissance artworks, such as, well, what was meant to be the cover of your bulletin, but I'm going to share it right now. This image. Renaissance artwork like this, which was painted by Albrecht Dürer, suggests different ethnicities for these three wise ones, though most scholars believe all of them hailed from Persia, and their caravan most likely also included servants and probably some women too. And probably all of them were from a religious background called Zoroastrianism after its founder. The scripture, though, is clear. They were overjoyed when they found the object of their pursuit, the infant Jesus. And so they bow before him and give him expensive kingly gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And they go home by another route. They don't return to Herod's palace with the news of the newborn king. And unlike the shepherds, they don't seem to tell everyone they meet this good news. They just go back home. Now, I find that part of the story very unsatisfying. I want this encounter to hold meaning for them beyond just this day. I want to find out that one of Jesus' followers later on learned about Jesus from these magi. I want to know that someone in this caravan was in Jerusalem when Jesus was crucified and became a witness to the resurrection. I want to know that an early church started up in Persia because there was an assembly of Jesus' followers waiting there for Paul or Peter or Andrew to show up with their testimony. None of those are documented. But I do believe that this, like so many stories from Scripture, is open-ended because it leaves us room to imagine. Imagine just the sorts of stories I have named, and even to see ourselves and our response there. Perhaps the Magi did tell folks in Persia about Jesus' birth. After all, they undertook a lengthy trip. Could they really return home and not share the story? Not likely. And in a time and place where stories and events were shared mostly through oral tradition, it's hard to imagine the stories of an adult Jesus did not reach Persia. It's not possible to think that some of the youngest members of the expedition were still alive 30 years later when Jesus' ministry began. And such healings and miracles as Jesus performed would certainly be newsworthy. These Magi, if they were Zoroastrian practitioners, they already embraced generosity and mercy and justice as a way of life. So then I wonder, well, what did the light of this star reveal to them? How did they carry the light into the world? How did they figure in the larger arc of Jesus' storyline? Well, their presence in Jerusalem and Bethlehem certainly shone a light on King Herod. Herod held power through his political appointment, and so he was allied with the Roman Empire. Independent histories of the time period align with the gospel. Herod was a ruler to be feared. He had killed even his own family members to remain in power. And clearly, Matthew's gospel tells us he had no qualms about ordering the deaths of children. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters mark the Feast of the Holy Innocents every year on December 28th by reading and remembering Herod's treachery. When the Magi didn't return to him, Herod ordered the deaths of children ages 2 and younger in an effort to eliminate Jesus the Messiah, whom Herod perceived as a potential threat to his security and his rule. Like despots and tyrants who came before him or have come since, Herod rules through fear and cruelty and will do anything to remain in power. The light that illuminates the Magi also sheds light on the darkness of Herod and foreshadows the darkness that will attempt to snuff out the light of the world. But light drives out darkness. If we are children of the light, if we are the bearers of God's Spirit in the world, how do we live in such a way that we shed light on the darkness of our world? We might do what the shepherds did, sharing the good news of God's love and grace to people we meet. We might spread light by giving generously and forgiving generously and caring compassionately. And we might bear light as the Magi did, shining light on dark circumstances and places in the world, places where mercy and compassion and justice have not yet reached. I'm going to draw your attention once again to that piece of artwork by Albrecht Dürer. Although this painting is probably not his most famous work, Dürer was one of 18 children born to Albrecht Dürer the Elder and his wife Barbara in Nuremberg, Germany in the 15th century. The young Albrecht showed great artistic talent from an early age, as did two of his brothers. But even for a successful merchant, sending multiple children to an academy rather than seeing them apprenticed to a trade was a pricey commitment. So young Albrecht and his brother Albert made a pact and tossed a coin. Albrecht won the coin toss, so he would go to art academy while his brother worked in a coal mine to pay for Albrecht's education. And then when his study was complete, they would trade places. Albrecht would go to work in the mine to pay for Albert's study. When the time came, however, Albert told his brother tearfully that he could not go to the academy. The hard work of mining meant his hands could no longer manage the delicate work of painting and drawing. His fingers had been broken, were disfigured, and had already become arthritic. The story goes on to say that Albrecht asked his brother to pose his hands for a sketch, the sketch that became an altarpiece for a patron. a sketch we know as the praying hands, Albert's hands, painted with love and compassion by his brother Albrecht. The coal mines may have deprived Albert of a career as an artist, but his brother shone a light on the generosity in Albert's heart, even to the point of compromising his own future. And Albert captured the story of Albert's sacrifice for the world to see. Even the hardship of the mines could not obscure such a gift. So how will you let your light shine in this year? Will you go and spread the good news? Will you shine a light in the dark places? Whichever you choose, do not set this gift of light on a shelf and close the cupboard door. Shine out and tell the story. God is with us, even in the darkest of places. Amen.